Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. I hope that everyone had a pleasant week. As you can see on the screen as he gets ready to click, the topic of our lesson this morning is rule over it. This morning I want to talk to us about a subject that all of us face and have to deal with every day in our lives, but it's also a subject I think oftentimes we feel like we really don't have a whole lot of control over. When Cain decided not to offer the sacrifice that God had commanded, in contrast to the sacrifice that Abel gave, he became very angry. And God exhorted Cain that sin is like a wild animal that was just waiting to consume him. And we see this in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. It's interesting that oftentimes, because we don't study the Old Testament a whole lot, I think we fail to miss a very important lesson when it comes to sin. And listen to what God had to say to Cain. God speaks to Cain, he says, "But you must master it." Oftentimes when we approach the topic of sin, we often look at it from a perspective that it's too much to handle. It's more than we can deal with. Having said that, God did refer to it as a wild beast. So therefore, it's not something that's going to be easily handled. All right? And we know that there are many other passages that warn us that sin is nothing to dabble in. Rather, when you stop and think about it, it's like cancer. It spreads rapidly and completely overwhelms us. Paul describes it like leaven in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. And in 2 Timothy 2, verses 16 and 17, he describes it as gangrene. That's some nasty stuff. You ever known anybody that had gangrene? It's really nasty and very hard to treat. And it spreads like crazy. And so it's interesting as we think about sin that we're exhorted to take decisive and drastic measures when it comes to sin. Matthew, in writing in Matthew 5, verse 29, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." Now, how many of you think God really wants us to tear our physical eye out? Jesus is using an example of how serious this is, folks. Okay? It's something that we have to take very serious. In Galatians 5, verse 24, Paul says, "Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires." Now, last week we talked about the crucifixion of Jesus, and John gave us an excellent description of what Jesus went through a couple weeks ago. And Paul tells us that we need to crucify the flesh. We need to put sin, to literally nail it to that cross. Get it out of our life. Paul writing to Timothy says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, says, "Now flee your youthful lust and pursue righteousness." And then in Romans 12, verse 9, Paul again says, "Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." And so, let's think about some practical ways to rule over it. Folks, the good news is that God told Cain that he did not have to become the slave of sin. He didn't have to become consumed, and getting the upper hand over sin was possible. And so, I want to encourage all of us to meet your future self. You see, too many people assume that in the future they will just naturally have more self-control than they seem to have right now. Therefore, they don't have to work on it today. God was warning Cain, folks, in Genesis 4 about his future self. And Cain ended up murdering his brother, and as a result, isolated himself from God and produced a line of unbelieving individuals. Is that what Cain really wanted for his future? So when you're tempted to do something wrong, really stop and look at your future. Is that and all the ramifications that come with it what you really want for your future? Because every choice we make, we all know, has consequences. Some of those consequences are long-lasting consequences. Okay? If we don't decisively choose to live for God, then sin will, folks, determine our future. Unfaithfulness always produces the same kind of future, folks. And it's not a pretty one. A future always shows up even when we sit on the fence or think we can remain neutral. And when it comes to the battle of sin, we cannot be like Switzerland. We cannot be neutral. We have to be armed and ready to fight. And I want to use an example this morning. Do you remember the example of Ammon, the son of David, who didn't control his thoughts or guard his heart? He ended up raping his sister, and then he was murdered. 2 Samuel 13. Folks, he didn't plan on becoming a monster. But since he didn't plan on being righteous, since he did not flee from lust, since he didn't put to death the old man or pursue righteousness, by default, he became a perverted individual. Now keep in mind, this young man was the son of King David. He was born into a royal family. He had some of the genetics of the amazing David himself. He lived in a nation that talked about God and was surrounded by good influences. Yet he became a monster. So never lie to yourself and say, I come from a good family. Good genetics flow through me. I'm really smart. Therefore, I can handle life without God. Doesn't work. This is one battle we cannot win by ourselves. And don't believe everything you think, folks. Don't believe everything you think. There are many false, deceptive, and misleading thoughts that flow through our minds every single day, including Christians' minds. And Paul encouraged us to only dwell on what is true. Philippians 4, verse 8. Just because a thought arises in our mind doesn't mean it's a wise or valid thought. You remember what Jeremiah had to say about the matter? The next click, I do believe. He said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. You know, we've all had people in our lives who have guided us to the point we are now. We need to understand that in the spiritual realm, we need to have a guide. And that guide is God. Okay? And our Lord Jesus Christ. We need someone that holds us accountable. Says, you're better than that. You can do better. And so, oftentimes, we might be tempted to say, no one cares about me. Well, folks, first of all, we need to put that type of thinking out of our mind to begin with. Because it's true, it's just not true. It's absolutely not true. God loves you more than you realize. And all the kids in here can probably, except some of the younger ones, probably quote John 3:16 to you. I'm sure their teachers have already taught it to them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, for God so loved the world, okay? That includes you. And if God loves you, that means he's on your side. He wants you to be successful. And he definitely wants you to be successful in overcoming sin in your life. And therefore, we need to revoke, or you need to revoke your license. Now, I want you to think about this. It's so easy to lie to ourselves and convince ourselves that because of certain extenuating circumstances, that sin is allowable in this or that situation. And we might be tempted to say to ourselves, you're hurting, you're sad, you've been wronged, you're discouraged, you've been working really hard lately, and therefore, I'm justified in doing this particular sin. Folks, we need to revoke that license we have given ourselves. Because rebellion to God is never, never justified, no matter what the situation. Revelation 2:10, he says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. There are no exceptions. God expects us to do our best to remain faithful. So if we are tempted to feel sorry for ourselves, we have lost our focus, which is supposed to be on Jesus. Remember what the Hebrew Christians were told? The Hebrew writer says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Nobody said it was going to be easy. And yet, we need to focus on strengthening our immune system. And the way we strengthen our spiritual immune system involves, among other essentials, what we spent, as Kurt referred to it, going till 7:30 last Sunday night. Regular Bible study, spending time in God's Word, praying without ceasing, spending time with other Christians. We cannot undervalue those things, folks. That is the way we build up our spiritual immune system. We need a regular dose of Christ. We need a regular dose of encouragement from our brothers and sisters to stay in the battle. Now, in reading that last verse, we need to remember that while battling sin is a very individual matter, it's also a group project on a certain level. Being around strong people helps you and me to be strong. All of us, but the majority of us in this room have said, at least given a nod of, yes, we want to do this. We want to grow as Christians. But we're not really sure how. Okay? Well, that's the first step in doing anything. I need someone to teach me. Okay? A lot of people never get to that point. They don't have enough sense to realize that everybody had to learn something at some point. Somebody had to teach them how they got there. They just look at it and say, well, look how well they're doing. Look how good he is at doing this or doing that. Well, he didn't get there overnight. It usually took years and years of practice. People who are really good at evangelism weren't really good at it to start with. But they kept going. And they kept learning. And they probably had a good teacher. And they probably taught many people since. But we need to be around strong people to help us be strong. And on a practical level, self-control is something which is a lot easier to catch, in a sense, by surrounding yourself with good influences. You know, a lot of times we talk about weight loss. Everybody's, I need to lose some weight, okay? I'll be honest. But one of the hardest things to do is when it comes to weight loss, at least from what the experts tell me, is to try and do it on your own. Because the only one holding you accountable is yourself. But if you have a partner, you know you have to answer to your partner. Well, what did you do this week? Well, you gained 2 pounds. Well, what were you doing that caused you to gain the 2 pounds? We need people in our lives spiritually who aren't afraid to say, are you struggling? Why are you struggling? How can I help? Now, if we go with the attitude of being a condemner, we wasted our time. What did Jesus say? Take the mote out of your own eye before you go. Try to take the speck out of somebody else's eye. Okay. We're all sinners, but we all need help. Then the next thing I would urge is that we surf the urge. The next time you are tempted, don't just give in and give up. Surf the urge. Determine to outlast the desire to sin. You remember when Jesus resisted the devil? Did the devil give up first after the first temptation? No. Did he give up after the second temptation? No. You think he's going to do that with you? No. But Jesus stood strong. And he used the scriptures to remind himself of what was the most important thing in this life. And that is being true to God. You see, we are told a similar thing. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. James 4, verse 7. Now, back in Genesis 4, verse 7, Cain was being told that a way of escape existed. A way in which he would be feeling better soon. Never forget that in any temptation, a way of escape exists. A way of feeling better about ourselves. A way to come out of the temptation without sinning and to exit the temptation in a stronger condition is always made available. We just have to look for it. Also, track your choices. If a temptation has beaten you many, many times in the past, truly consider how you ended up there and what the results were. Did you put up a fight or did you just roll over? Did many little unwise choices end in yielding? Did you carefully watch over your soul or did you shoot yourself in the foot, so to speak? If you yield to temptation, what was the result? Did the temptation deliver as it promised? Or did you feel terrible afterwards? Also track the choices of others. And I would reference Hebrews 13, verse 7, and also James 5, verse 11. If you are tempted to go down a path, carefully consider what has happened to others that took that same route. And if you're becoming rather lax in your prayer life, your Bible study, or attendance, what has happened in the lives of others who made those choices? Did it end well? Where are they today? And would you like to trade places with them today? Ask yourself this question. Do you admire them? Do you wish you had the life that they are presently living? So do not cheat yourself. God offers us forgiveness, a relationship with Him, hope, love, meaning, purpose, peace, contentment, and so many other things, not to mention an eternity of bliss with Him. So why would you deny yourself those things? Paul exhorted the Christians in Colossae, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. So do not let anyone rob you of your opportunity to enjoy a great life here and an amazing eternity. See, we need to remember, when we yield to sin, when we don't pursue righteousness, the main person we're hurting is ourselves. And it hurts not merely for the moment. If we're not careful, the hurt can last for eternity. And we need to be honest about you. Be honest about yourself. You are made in the image of God. Genesis 1, verse 26. Now ask yourself the question, how can living apart from Him bring any real fulfillment or happiness? It can't, folks. It can't. Our God has provided a way of escape for us. But we need to realize that we can rule over it and not let sin rule over us. Will it be a battle? Absolutely. Paul warned us. He said, put the full armor on. Why do you think Paul said put the full armor on? Anybody here like Greek mythology and all that stuff? Tristan does. What happened to the great Achilles?
He got shot first.
Oh, why was that? Achilles always wore armor. And the only way to get him was to knock him down. And they shot him in the ankle. The Achilles heel. Well, we've got an arrow sticking through your foot. You can't fight battle. Which weakened his defenses, which allowed his enemies to kill him. When we take on the spiritual armor of God, we need to have every piece of armor on that we possibly can wear. We're not going to go back to Ephesians 6 and read about the armor of God. I'd encourage you to do that. But we have to be ready for battle every single day. Every single day. Because I can guarantee you, Satan is looking for our Achilles heel. What is our weakest point? And that's where he's going to attack. So I would encourage you, always be prepared. God says we can rule over it. And God doesn't lie, folks. This morning, if you're struggling with sin, He gave the church, He gave His Son that we can be forgiven, but He also gave us a church that we can have a support group to let us know we're not in this battle by ourselves. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning in any way, we want to encourage you to come as Jimmy leads us in invitation song.